What's going on, people? Welcome back to another edition of the Bad Podcast. Me, my brother, Bad Brother Brad, the Bad Man. Yeah. Had to play that one off a little bit. Man, listen, B, what are we talking about today?
We are going to talk about using adversity to our advantage. I got a quote here from the GOAT, number 23, MJ himself. All right. Obstacles don't have to stop you. If you run into a wall, don't turn around and give up. Figure out how to climb over, go through, or work around it. Let's do this, baby.
I love it, man. Shout out to MJ. Let's get it.
Hey, good job, guys. Good job. Mental battles. Mental battles.
Man, eat some air for life, baby. What it look like, what it be like. Welcome back, man. Super excited to bring you another edition of the Bad Podcast, man. And Brad, man, I'm just, after meetups, bro, it's a little different, man. When people come up and say, I listen to the Bad Podcast, I don't know what to say, man. Like, I'm so grateful. Yeah. People are listening, man. It's super humbling, man. I know you experienced that as well. Talk about that a little bit before we jump in.
Man, just feeling blessed because, you know, like you're saying, you know, you don't expect, you know, hundreds of people watching these podcasts. At least I don't. And when you go to this meetup and 10, 15, 20 people come up to you and say, hey, man, you saved my life, or you got me off the couch and got me engaged. And you know, just that's very humbling to hear. And it's just very satisfying to hear. And it's a real blast, man. And I'm just incredibly thankful on a daily basis to be able to provide this content for free and, you know, spit as much gold nuggets as we can.
Yeah, man. And it's just an amazing, amazing feeling. Like you said, I remember, you know, us just kind of spitballing the idea, you know, not knowing, you know, that thousands of downloads later, because we're on that level, you know, people are being affected, man. So I want to read one comment under last week's episode. It says, this is H. Linda Bergen 1540. Sorry if I butchered that, but you just made that comment, and it said, I love hearing your Do You Know Dwayne. Gives me hope for my three-year-old who is a master climber, escape artist, adventurer, ever since he was wee little. If he could turn out to accomplish what you do with his character, tenacity, ambition, and love for Jesus, I'm thrilled. I love that.
I love it, man. That's incredible. That's incredible.
I'm humbled, you know, and definitely, you know, if he's anything like me, it's a rocky road to get here. So be prepared. Be prepared, man. So thank you guys for your comments. Well, we're super, super humbled to hear it. We definitely want to encourage you to do it and leave comments. So, all right, B, let's get into this topic, man. You know, you know, or I don't know if you know, but like, I am a huge Michael Jordan fan. Like, I am the 90s kid, you know.
Yep.
You know, I had the wristband on the forearm. Mm-hmm. You know, I used to watch Come Fly With Me like every day. Michael Jordan Playground. You know, all the things, bro. Like I that's my guy. So
yeah.
And it's weird though, you know, this is off topic, but it's weird, man, you know, Last Dance, like I was like all over that, bro. Like you know what I mean? Like I couldn't get it. I think I watched it like 10 times, like after it came out of Netflix. Like it was just something about his mindset and his drive and I mean sometimes to the detriment of relationships, you know.
Yeah. 100.
Yep. Yeah, man. So give us the quote one more time, man. Let's chop this thing up.
Yeah, yeah. So obstacles don't have to stop you. If you run into a wall, don't turn around and give up. Figure out how to climb it, how to go through it, or how to go around it. And that's how Michael approached everything in his life, whether it be basketball, golf, gambling, you know, whatever it may be, man. He was going through that wall somehow, some way. And he sort of put Chicago back on the on the map, you know. I mean, the Chicago Bears were good in the mid-80s. But then, I mean, the Chicago Bulls were And they were the laughing stock of the league, and he put Chicago back on the map. Not only the Chicago Bulls, the city of Chicago, because the entire world started representing that red, white, and black, baby, and yeah, including yours truly. I was right too. There with you, Dwayne, man.
Yeah, man.
I was right there with you. Yeah.
That's yep. so crazy to think yeah. about, because I didn't even think about it in that aspect. You know, usually mm-hmm. you go with the local team, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But, bruh, like, I was a mm-hmm. – like. And you know, and I always tell people later, like, I wasn't a Chicago Bulls fan. I was a Michael Jordan fan.
yeah, no doubt, man. I was big on Denny too. I love Scotty. Like I just remember watching the core three there, and you know, just you know, falling in love with basketball just because of those three guys. And I'm not a basketball guy. Mm-hmm. You know, I was just asked today, hey, Mr. Barmore, because I talked to this little girl. I mean, she's not a little girl anymore. She's a high schooler. But she asks me every day a question, Mr. Barmore, who's your favorite NBA team? I said, I'd have to go with the Bulls. I don't like the NBA. I don't like basketball a whole lot anymore. But if I were to go with a squad, I'm a Bulls fan. I love the red, white, and black. And I couldn't name a player on the Bulls. I know Derrick Rose played for the Bulls at some point.
Shout out to my man, Kobe White. Kobe White is from Goldsboro, North Carolina,
okay.
which is about 30, 40 minutes from my parents' house. He went to Chapel Hill. I'm a Tar Heel guy. Went to yeah. Chapel Hill, and he plays for Chicago Bulls. That's the yeah. only player I know on that team. But shout out to Kobe.
All right. Hey, I'm a Kobe fan. I'm a Kobe fan because he's a
Kobe
Bulls.
Kobe White,
yeah.
baby.
Yeah, I love it. But, you know, you talk about Michael and you talk about this quote, and this kind of relates to what I had to talk about today, because yesterday I was at the gym. This woman approaches me. She's an E2M client. And she says, Brad, 4.67. And I'm like, what's 4.67? What's that mean? She says, I just ran 4.67 miles. I'm like, oh, that's wonderful. You know, what was your goal? She says, my goal was to run. She said, 2 years ago, my doctor promised me I would never get on a treadmill. I would never run on a road again. 4.67. So today, on both of my live workouts, I did a spin class this morning. Yes, we offer spin. I did a 20-minute burn. Yes, we offer burns. Okay, so we did both messages today were based around 4.67. Now, I want to burn that into your mind. When you're told something, okay, when you're told yourself, when you're told you can't do something, how many times have you been told you can't do something, Dwayne?
Oh, that's my favorite phrase, bro.
yeah. So and you know what? Goodness. Yeah. Okay. And I want to burn this number into the back of our minds. 4.67. When somebody tells you you can't do something, just say, watch me. All right. Because we have a distorted way of looking at things. We have a distorted way of listening to people telling us we can't do something. And we believe it. By golly, how dare we? How dare we believe that? We believe it instead of trying to convince ourselves that maybe I can. Maybe I can.
Yo, you know? That's so real, man. You know, that, you know, in my world that I live in, saying I can't do something is the ultimate fuel. Like, sometimes I wish they would say it. You know what I mean?
Yes,
like,
yes.
Like my wife... when she first started the journey, you know, a couple of her friends were like, man, you know, they call her Dre, like, Dre, you can't keep that up. I was like, man, I wish they would tell me that. Like,
yeah, right.
I know I'm going to curse it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's just,
yeah.
But, you know, it actually takes me, that phrase takes me to another GOAT, man. The Mamba used to say, he used to pick out people in the crowd
and
make up stories in his mind that they don't like them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Like, man, he can't do it. Like, that's a whole nother level, man. Like, you know, you got to find it. Yeah. But I love the fact, well, first of all, shout out to the lady that did this 4.67. That's so fire. Like, just hearing that message, you know, just it inspires me a whole lot because, like you mentioned, so many people say you can't do things, man. You know, I can think of quite a few, you know, and it's funny. It always comes from family, you know.
A lot of times, man. A lot of times. Yeah.
A lot of times it comes from family, man. A lot of times family, because, I mean, and it goes from familiarity because they know you, whatever they think, you know, and then they think they're looking out for you when they sell you short, you know, they think like, you know, I don't want you to get your feelings hurt, whatever, whatever. I don't want you to fail or whatever, whatever. You know, and it reminds me of a Jay-Z interview, you know, and a guy was talking to Jay-Z and he's like, you know, he's like, I told my uncle, you know, I was going to sell you million records. And said, my uncle laughed like, yeah, right. Like, you never sell a million records, you know? And he said, I sold a million records a million times, you know?
Yeah, right. My, look where Jay-Z is today.
Right. Exactly. You know, and you know, he kind of ended it with, you know, you can't let other people's fears, you know, you can't adapt or adopt other people's fears, man. You have to move on your own accord, man, and tackle that. Knock through that wall, man. Knock through that barrier that they're trying to set up for you, man. You can't do it.
Yeah, Michael did that same thing. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure you remember, but Michael did that same thing. There was, I think it was the Utah Jazz. He was at dinner or something.
I remember. Yes.
And the other coach walked by him, right?
Supersonics. Yes.
Yeah, and somebody walked by him, and they didn't say hi. Okay. And Michael said, okay, that's enough for me. That's enough. And he would create these stories in his minds. And I think on a smaller scale, we have to do the same, because we are so controlled by external words and external advice and external doubt that we don't take a second just to, you know what, make up a story in our minds to keep us going, keep us progressing. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I love hearing that, because sometimes I used to do that, like, you know, playing in the Gus Mac or on a totally smaller scale. You know, I would go up against an opponent and say, you know what, I think this guy said something about me. I think he did say something about me. I'm going to convince myself right now to take it to this guy. All right. Yeah. It's you versus me, baby. It's you versus me.
You know, Shaq did that with David Robinson. Like, he had whole story about how David Robinson wouldn't sign his autograph, you know, and he told everybody that, and then kind of find out it wasn't true. Like, it's something he fabricated, because he would, when he played David Robinson, because that was his hero growing up, he had to change his mindset. When he played him, he would really go hard, because the story that he made up, man. And you know, something I go through, and I'm sure you do too, because we find out we're similar in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Because of the victories we've had, we don't get as much opposition. You know what I mean? Like, people don't say we can't do stuff as often because of what we've done so far. And so I like what you're saying about starting to create that thing to build a fire back up. Like, I think I'm gonna start applying that. So
yeah,
in the gym, it's not personal. I just made up a story.
All right, you said that. That's enough for me.
Let's do it.
You know, So my dad is my biggest fan. He is my absolute biggest fan, but he's also my biggest critic. And a lot of times I'll tell him that I'm doing this massive thing. I've told him over the years, I'm running a half marathon. I'm doing a marathon. I'm doing an Ironman. I'm going to do this and that and the other. And every time I tell him, he kind of smirks and laughs and say, hey, you know, maybe try half of that. And I know I can do half of that. So why wouldn't I test my limit? Why wouldn't I get that to that line of limit that we talk about all the time and try to push that a little bit? Because that's the only way to get life's true experience, right? The full package, the max, you know, you max out. That's the only way to do it is to get to that line of limit and defy all odds. Maybe my dad doesn't think I can do that. But if I truly believe in myself, okay, that's going to be progressing me in the right direction.
Yeah, no, legit, man. Dads are good at that, man. They're good at
protect us.
Yeah, they're good at celebrating us and putting doubt in our heads. But no, similar, man. My, you know, it's funny. Like, I think because my pops see me like start to do a lot of stuff that I was talking about years ago, he's starting to see it come around. You know, it's a little different when I tell him something now, and it's, you know, it's like, like I've convinced him now, like, you know, but I think it's really important, man. For our listeners, man, just to understand that, you know, everybody approaches, I guess, adversity different. You know, we understand that. What we're trying to do is help you change your mindset to when you hear those words, even if it's coming from you. When it's an internal you saying you can't do because of, or, you know, whatever, you know, even when that's the case, you can psych yourself out. I mean, psych yourself out. Like I said, you can come up with your own story. You know, you can take it out of your mind and put it on something else, you know, put it on you know, somebody else, you know, that person that worked that side eye, you, man, you can make that your motivation. And I see it apply, B, whenever, like, you know, just on an everyday when it comes to like eating on the meal plan. You know, when you can say, like, if the Snickers on somebody's desk, like, yeah, I knew you was gonna take that Snickers. You're like, you know what? I'm not, you know, like,
yeah, right. Create that story. Yep.
Exactly, yep. Man. So there's so many ways to apply it. You know, when it comes to just on a daily, man, not just in fitness.
Yeah. So like I'm gonna provide what I do, one of these tools that I can provide to you. So when I am experiencing something like the Snickers bar, you know, something that's presented to me that might it will provide some temporary satisfaction. I'm gonna be satisfied for 5 minutes. I don't know, 2 minutes. I press smash that thing right down, you know, and you get 30 seconds of satisfaction. Now you feel good in that moment. Right. So when I'm presented these moments, these situations in life, what I say to myself is I got it. All right. I'm telling life, I'm telling adversity, I'm telling opposition, I got it. Guess what? That is me accepting that challenge. That is me confirming that I know that will give me some sort of satisfaction. I'm ready for that challenge. I'm prepared for that challenge. Okay, a lot of us will take challenge like that, the Snickers bar, and we will allow it to engulf us. We'll allow it to swallow us. Mm-hmm. And once that happens, it is so extremely hard to get out of that.
Yeah.
Okay. We absolutely can. But once you are consumed, once you're engulfed, once you're swallowed, it's very difficult to get out. And, you know, Jeff was talking about, you know, creating habits. Okay. Yep. It's very difficult to create a good habit. It's very easy to create a bad habit because you have that Snickers bar. It feels good in the moment. You regret it 20 minutes later.
Yep. But
then the second day you have two Snickers bars because you want that temporary satisfaction twice. And it's easy to create a bad habit than it is to create a good habit, but just allowing yourself that acceptance of challenge. I got it. I want it. Like you were saying, I want it. Tell me I can't do something. Watch me.
Yes, sir. No, that's it right there, man. That's it. So for me, just to clarify, it's Reese's for me. So, you know, everybody, you know, he says Snicker. It's the Snicker guy. I'm Reese's guy.
Reese's too all day.
Yeah. Man. But no, so and you brought up a great point, and actually, you know, Jeff actually quoted this one time with it was a Michael Jordan thing where he's saying, like, once you quit one time, or once you give up one time, or once you fall in one time, it makes it that much easier to do it the next time, you know? And I think about, you know, like you just mentioned with those three temptations, you know, a couple seconds, man, if it's a Reese's, it might be 20 seconds, maybe, you know what I mean? Like two at the same time stacking,
done deal, baby.
but you know, like you said, man, you regret it immediately, you know, you regret it. So for those who don't know, in the E2M private page, we actually do Friday night lives where I get on a thing like this and I interview clients, similar to this kind of platform. And one of our clients, Meredith, shout out to Meredith. She said something one night, man, that really hit, man. She was like, the satisfaction of not giving in feels way better than the temporary satisfaction of giving in to food. That was huge. I mean, I knew it, it makes sense. But when she said it, it was just like, boom, like you gain so much more when you're able to, you know, show that resistance, you know, when you're able to bust through that wall, when you're able to cross over that finish line, when you're able to, you know, you actually gain so much more than that temporary sit down on the couch or grab those Reese's or whatever, man. You know, it's a great feeling, you know, you have to get out of that right now satisfaction for that grander satisfaction later.
Yeah. Well, we're all in this box, Dwayne. We're all in our own individual box. And it's hard when we're in the box to see the grander scheme of things. It's hard to see, you know, what we want to become and who we want to become. And, you know, you talk about Meredith and what she was saying, you know, in that moment. Yeah, it feels good to have that Reese's. It feels good to have that Snickers bar. But outside of that box, you know, upon the horizon, you know, we want that shining bright like a diamond feeling. Yeah. And the only way we're going to get that feeling is by avoiding those temporary satisfactions today. Now, I want to say something. You know, our brains are developed to protect us, right? You know, so we're going to kind of relate this to this whole Snickers Reese's thing. You know, you stick your hand in the fire. Okay, what does your brain tell you to do? don't do it again. Mm-hmm. Okay. But your brain's going to also tell you, hey, running's hard. Don't run. Lifting, doing resistance training is hard. Don't do resistance training. Now our brain is designed to keep us safe. It's designed to keep us comfortable, right?
Right.
We need to break down that wall. We're talking about walls with Michael Jordan. We need to get to that wall. Our brain telling us we shouldn't do these things because that's resistance. That's adversity. That's opposition. Bust through that wall. Mm. Okay. Okay. That's the only time that you want to really fight your brain and fight that mindset of, keeping yourself safe, man. Get a little bit of vulnerability. Cut that safety net. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's what you got, man. If you want to live life, cut that safety net. Cut it out, baby.
That's right, baby. That's right. No, that's so yeah. good, man. You know, that's an aspect that's not talked about a lot, man. How your brain is the one, you know, that's trying to stop you because it's uncomfortable. You know, it is very uncomfortable. You know, I was thinking just yesterday when I was on the bike, man, you know, and just, you know, pedaling away and turning up the resistance and my legs getting tired. And I was like, man, this sucks. You know, it's uncomfortable. And the brain is like, yeah, why are you doing this?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Stop. Yeah. absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. That's fire, man. That's fire.
Yeah.
So B, hey, man. Go ahead.
I got one thing, baby. I got one thing. Okay. Listen to me. If you're in need of some kind of pick me up, if you're in need of some kind of inspiration, motivation, all right, I'm going to end with this comeback story. Everybody loves a comeback story. Today, we start writing your comeback story, and it's going to be one for the ages.
That's right, baby. That's right. Comeback story. I love it. All right, B, it's on you this week. Let's get it.
Yes, sir.
Do you know?
Hey, all right, baby.
What is it?
Do you know? All right, do you know? I have two siblings. I got a younger sister. She's about a year and a half, just a little less than a year and a half younger than me. Her name's Carrie. All right. Some of the E2M family knows my sister Carrie. She's going to, she'll be in and out of the meetups and doing some bigger things there. And then I got my brother, Brian. He's a handful of years younger than me, 5 years younger than me, 4.5, 5 years younger than me. He is, you know, we've talked about it on this podcast before. He has been sort of that beacon, that light that I have followed, and as much as he is younger than me, he's somebody that I've always looked up to, just because he's never been afraid of chasing those things that a lot of us fear. You know, I mean, he's hiked from Mexico to Canada. He's been to Africa. He's done the Inca Trail down in South America. He's done marathons. He's done half marathons. He's going to sign up for a 100-mile run here in probably within the next year. You know, he's just showing our family that, just because something has been a stigma, just because something has always been difficult to our family or the way we look at things, he's defined all that and just got himself out there, got himself a little vulnerable and really paved the way for me and the rest of my family. So shout out to my siblings, Carrie and Brian. Love you guys.
Nice, nice. Brian gets the shout out a lot because he's always doing something crazy.
yes, he is. Man.
I love it, man.
Yeah.
Well, listen, B, this was fun.
This was
good. Always good to get behind the microphone and talk to you guys. So this is Monday, and I just want to let you know, if you're watching this, you're on YouTube, just find this podcast with these two handsome fellas on here, man. We actually have E2M signups this Thursday.
Let's go.
If you're an E2M member, share this video, man, and let people know that we offer content like this. You can get Brad, you know, just live and in person for workouts and you know, tread and bike and quick hit cardio burns. All of those things are offered on top of a whole lot of other things. Like, we have chefs, we have mental health coaches. We have so much, and then we have an amazing community. If you want to know how amazing our community is, all you got to do is look down in the comment section, and I want all my E2Mers to put in the comment section, we're here, baby, we're here, you know.
We're here.
that we're here, this beautiful community. So look down, look at all those beautiful people that are part of this amazing program. And we would love for you to join this amazing family, man. We treat each other like family. And we got nothing but love for you. So make sure you go to e2wmfitness.com. And I wouldn't do my justice if I didn't put it on here. Let me be.
Get it up.
For the boss, man, be like, what y'all even out here doing? You know? What are y'all out here doing? All right. There we go. E2MFitness.com. Make sure you go there. You can go there now. It's Monday. You can go there now. You can sign up for the email reminder as well as the text message reminder. E2MFitness.com will get you all the information that you need to know about the program. We would love to work with you. We would love to be your change, man. Brad talked about the comeback story. Comeback story can start with E2M Fitness, man. Yeah. So, all right, y'all. Y'all have a good one. Till next time, we are out of here.
Later, guys.